Hey, Meeks, welcome back.
Hey, Shelley.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Cream City Dreams,
the podcast where we interview Milwaukee women doing incredible things, dreamy things,
fun things.
Like this week's guest, we have Samantha Starr.
From Samantha Starr Events.
She is an event planner and a community builder, I would say.
Yeah, I was really excited to hear about all the different very creative events she has started in Milwaukee. How lucky are we?
Yeah, she does regular events, but she also has signature events and things that we can come to, things that you can get on the mailing list and get involved in. So,
and they're exclusive, y'all. Like, that's a cool part of it. You got to be in the know, or there's a limited number of people that can be there. So sign up early.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to miss it. I so admire people that are jumping in feet first with their business full time. So cool.
Yeah.
So to learn about that a little bit was great too.
All right, let's hear from our guest, Samantha Starr. Today, we are really excited to have on our podcast Samantha Starr of Samantha Starr Events, aka Samantha Mitchell sometimes, but today we're going full out celestial. We are going Samantha Starr.
Yes.
She is an event organizer extraordinaire, and we'll talk about these events. And we'll talk a little bit about what you did before events too, because you weren't always an event organizer, but you came to us, or to my awareness, through Nell Benton, chef and a good friend of mine. And I think I came to the Battle of the Chefs when it was at the table, and she was one of the chefs. So I don't remember what year it was. Certainly pre-pandemic.
Yes. It was probably around 2017.
That sounds right. I don't remember having as many kids as I do now. So yes. And that was so much fun. So the Battle of the Chefs is how I came to know you. But I thought maybe we would start with, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time and somebody says, hey, what do you do? Like, what's your elevator pitch for Samantha Starr?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. I love tapping into these different podcasts and sharing my journey with Milwaukee and beyond, who's ever listening.
Yes.
But I would say that Samantha Starr Events, we offer look, styling, and design for party people in Milwaukee. And I have a new tagline that's, we plan, you party, because it's important to really just allow our clients and to be hands-free, and we handle the details.
I love that. We plan, you party.
Yep. And I kind of feel like everybody in Milwaukee is a party person, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's kind of our vibe as a city. So good work coming up with a business that you have a big market for.
Yes.
And you grew up in Milwaukee. Am I right in thinking that? Okay.
Yep, I grew up in Milwaukee. I went to Nicolet High School, left here, went to Columbia College, Chicago, got a degree in public relations. And so that's kind of where my event skills started to surface a little bit more, although I guess my event skills surfaced in high school, technically.
I'm curious about that. What was it like for you to plan events in high school? Was it like you liked it? It wasn't, you know.
I enjoyed bringing people together. And it wasn't a ton. I would say it kind of kicked off with the Black History Program at Nicolet, alongside some of my other, friends and folks. We put together this Black History Program. I think it went for a couple of years while I was there. But yeah, I got, at the time, local music artists. We had the choir involved. I got a guest speaker who was an alum. So I was already, doing those things at a young age that now I'm doing on a larger scale. So I feel like that's kind of where it all began. And then going into Columbia, majoring in PR and marketing, events come with a lot of that stuff too. So that's where I really got my hands wet. And long story short, like going back to 2016, amid being un and underemployed after being laid off, I was kind of encouraged to turn my passion for events into a lucrative business. And so I did. And I had been doing, small events for friends and family leading up to that decision. And then in 2016 is also the first year of Battle of the Chefs. So
Oh, wow.
that's kind of where it all began.
Did you create the event, Battle of the Chefs?
I did create it.
You
I did
created it.
create it. Yep. I have my lover of food and hospitality industry. And I'm like, I want to do something unique and fun here that we don't see here. That's kind of my mindset with all of my events. How can I bring these creative and unique events to our city? And so, yeah, that's where Battle of the Chefs came from. I pitched it to the chef's table. Like, here's what I want to do. Can you partner with me? And they loved it. And I held Battle of the Chefs there for the first 4 years.
And how did you get hooked up
Or
with
actually the first 5 years. First 5 years.
the first five? Wow. How did you get hooked up with is his name David, or what is his name?
Chef David
Chef
Meganasco.
David?
Yeah. A Google search. I was looking at venues because it was an intimate event at that time, and I was looking for unique venues to host it that had that food and cooking concept. And I came across the chef's table, and I reached out. I'm one of those people. I'm really not afraid to ask or reach out to anyone. So I just pitched it, and ran with it.
And it's such a cool, I don't, Shelly, I don't know if you've
I've
been there, but
never.
it's a
Yeah, I'd love
really
to
cool
hear.
place. I had my 40th birthday party there. It's got this massive table. I mean, it's called the table,
Chef's
the
table.
chef's table. And it can seat 30. I mean, I know your event wasn't a sit down. They're more like tastings,
Cocktail.
right? Yeah, cocktails, tastings, but yeah, really cool space, really cool chef.
Tell me about the Battle of the Chefs, though. I like, what's the concept?
So Battle of the Chefs, I created it. It's a friendly food competition and tasting event just to elevate and showcase local chefs in Milwaukee. Our culinary scene is ever evolving, right? And so we also support local youth culinary programs. So I bring all of these chefs together not only to showcase them and have, the guests sample, but I want to give back to the next generation of culinary trailblazers, as they develop. So each year I rotate who the beneficiary will be, and 100% of the silent auction proceeds are donated to that organization.
That's so cool. Yeah, I think the year I was there, it was MPS, the MPS program, which was very cool.
What time of year is the event?
Fall, it actually just passed. It was October 6th.
Oh man.
Yep.
And a new location now then, right? With more.
Yeah, for just this year, yeah, it was at Prislaw, which was really, really nice, really unique. My capacity this year was at 150. Yeah, so it's really grown. After my fifth year, we did an indoor outdoor concept at the chef's table, and I increased the tickets. It was about 75 to 100, and they're like, "You're not going to be able to go down after this." So I don't want to go over 150 because I don't want to lose that essence of exclusivity, people being really able to interact with each other and the chefs. I think that's important. So I don't want to go over that number, at least just yet.
This sounds so dreamy.
It is.
And this is a podcast about dreams, right? So I'm just curious, like, when did little baby Samantha start dreaming about doing this kind of thing? Like, how old were you? And is this a dream for you, or is this just, I don't know, what's the next right thing to do? Like, is this something you've been thinking about for a long time and hoping to create for a long time, or is this just, stumbled into it?
I would say it's a mix of that. Like I said, in high school, I guess I kind of that's where it hatched. And I'll say Columbia College is where it kind of evolved, right? And I started learning more and developing a skill. And I think after some time of, fast forward to now and my journey and how I got here and started this business during a time where I was unemployed. I had been laid off, and so I had to figure out a way to bring in income. But I actually made sure that it was something that I was passionate about. And I started thinking over the last couple years, while I was working in nonprofit, I was at United Way, and I was doing both for about 5.5 years, and it started to take off, where it's like it's gonna get hard to manage both because I'm getting corporate contracts, I'm getting corporate requests, and some of these are daytime events and such. So I took some time to, kind of plan it out. And at the around this time last year is when I started getting that gut feeling, like I need to start making my plan. And so in November of last year, that's when I gave my notice, and I gave a 2-month notice just to give time. And then I ended up, well, I gave, no, I'm sorry. I gave my notice in January of this year, and I left at the end of March. So yeah, it was a leap of faith, and which is still so crazy to me, like what? But everything has been aligning. I'm very intentional with the spaces that I'm in. Even from a community perspective, everything that I do aligns with my passions. I serve on some boards and committees, and so each of those organizations align with my passions for hospitality, for sustainability, and collaboration. And I think that's important when you're thinking about your dreams and your passions, that how you extend yourself to the community aligns. But you're not so far stretched,
Yeah, I mean it's a different kind of energy to work on something when your values are aligned. Like I find that like I can work much harder and with more passion when my values are aligned with what I'm doing. So I'm curious. So you were doing DEI work, diversity, equity, inclusion work at United Way, correct? Did that include event planning? Like, were you using those skills?
Well, yeah, the unique thing about my role, was technically I was in a fundraising role,
I see.
that intersect with DEI.
Got it.
How we engaged with different groups involved events. So, not a ton, but there were still events, going on. So yes, I mean, and that made it easier too, because my mind, I mean, from a fundraising perspective, it was way far left, but it still had some of that. I still got to hone in on some of that skill in my role there.
I'm wondering if the fundraising role in asking for money made it easier for you to jump into your own business where you actually have to start charging.
Yeah, absolutely. United Way really, from a professional development standpoint, I give a lot of thanks and credit to the opportunities I had there. And I also said, and in one of my last, I think, emails to some leaders there, the mentorship from colleagues, and some of the stuff I learned in fundraising and making the ask and being fearless is really what helped me make this decision. So yeah,
'Cause that's a skill, really, being able to ask
it
for money and to being
is.
able to, like, no holds barred, charge in and say, this is what I need, this is what I charge. I think that's really important. So kudos to you. I feel like that's one of the lessons that we've seen over and over again from our guests is the kind of no opportunity is wasted. Like, we learn from everything we do, even if it's not
Absolutely.
necessarily our dream yet. Like, if it's just a step toward our dream, those experiences are not wasted. And it sounds like that's the same for you.
Yep, for sure.
So since jumping in feet first to the business full time, what's been the learning curve? Like, what has been the biggest adjustment for you?
I would say really just the operational piece of business. And adjusting to that, and I'm doing it all, and I have to plan out my day, from doing client work to doing operational or administrative work. marketing. So it's interesting, and no day is the same. And no
Which
day
is
is the
probably good and
same.
bad.
Yep.
Do you have a,
Yeah.
are you a one-woman show? Do you have a team? Do you have
Yeah. So for most for full time, I would say it's just me, but I do have support with event execution. So the day of support, which is so awesome because cannot do this myself. And so shout out to Raven Peterson, who is my main go-to and assistant with event execution.
Okay,
And
nice.
talking my head down. And stepping in when I need a breather.
It's interesting. I've run some of, I've been in nonprofits my whole life, and so you end up running events because nonprofits need money and people and all the things, right? And there is a different kind of energy on event day that you need to have. And so I'm just curious, like, what tips do you have for those of us that find our, I mean, moms too. Moms end up planning events all the time, right? Whether it's a birthday party or it's a fundraiser at school or whatever, right? What tips do you have for like event day energy? How do you maintain it?
Yeah. Well, how I my event day energy starts probably a week or so ahead, because I think it's, for me, it's very important to get all the details locked, done, and out the way a week or two ahead of the event, so that that week going into the event is not so chaotic, right? I leave that week for last minute things that are going to pop up, because they always do. So you don't want to have those last minute things and you're still trying to finalize other major details. But I think it's good to go into a good headspace. Usually the night before the event is off limits. I'm either prepping or I'm at home. I don't go out or anything. I'm like, no, can't do any of that, because I need to go in a good headspace. And I give myself time. I think on event day, if you can, build in extra time for setup and mishaps, because it happens, and you don't want to have those, you don't want to rush, So I think a good headspace, giving yourself time, having help is really important to have help. And this goes for all, for vendors across the board. I have Raven, but sometimes if I have a larger event, I have a group of friends that I can you jump in and help me with this? So just having support and just positive energy. Event days are long. They're long de depending on the event from start to finish. So
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm remembering one time I ran an event where I realized that the audience, the primary audience, were all big meat eaters, and I had planned a vegetarian menu. And I texted one of my friends. I realized it like at 5 in the morning the day of the event, you know? And I te and so you're so wise, like plan these things a little bit before. But I texted a friend, "Can you get me 150 meatballs by noon?" And that's been an inside joke for, 15 years whenever I need him to help me with something. "Can you get me 150 meatballs by noon?" It's kind of a random text, but he did it. He did it. Thank you,
That's
Andrew.
awesome. That's so funny. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, and Battle of the Chefs we've talked about, but you also run something called MKE Fest. Can you tell us a
Yes.
little bit about that?
Ooh. Yes.
Because we love MKE also, and it's Cream City Dreams. So
it
on 414 day?
No, it's not. It's
Oh,
not.
okay.
So MKE Fest is an arts festival that I started in 2017, really just to showcase local artists, similar foundation, just like Battle of the Chefs, but arts focused. So it started off as a block party, or outdoor festival, if you want to say that. But I have had live artists, DJ battles. I do a DJ battle for the or a DJ lineup for the full day.
Have fun.
Art vendors, food vendors. So it's really just an art-centric, very diverse cultural event. I got that inspiration after traveling to Miami for the Art Basel. And it was just art everywhere. There was street art, there was just food vendors mixed with art. It was just so much. And I'm like, I need to bring something like this to Milwaukee. We have so much talent, artistic talent here across the board, and how can I create a platform to showcase those individuals? And I did that. It started off, it was in Walker's Point over by, at the time, Drink Wisconsibly. And so that was the early partner with them. And then that next year, I moved to Cathedral Park in 2018, which was really big. So it was just an art-filled park. We had True School there. We had the tattoo artists from Walker's Point Tattoo doing a mural. Tons of art vendors doing live art and selling artwork, music. So it was a blast. And 2019, I didn't quite meet my sponsorship goal, so I couldn't have it. And then the pandemic happened, and so I partnered with On Milwaukee, and we did MKE Fest, a virtual art walk. We did a 5-week series where I brought on 2 to 3 artists per show just to talk about their work, how you can support them, and all those things, just so I can keep the name relevant, And then earlier this year, I did a pop-up gallery night version of MKE Fest at Thelma Carroll Wine Merchants. Shout out to them and positive energy, sending positive energy their way for what they've been dealing with most recently. But we had a beautiful art and wine tasting. So I had five artists, or 5 or 6 artists throughout the day who were each paired with a different wine. And so
Oh, how fun.
they were creating live art. And it was just really beautiful. That was the last snowstorm we had, the very big snowstorm, and still 70 people showed up.
Oh man, that's so cool.
And people were still coming the day of to buy tickets at the door. So
Oh, cool.
it was a great time. So my hope is to bring MKE Fest back as an outdoor festival next year.
Okay. What a cool idea. I think you said community sustainability and collaboration. A community, I'm not sure. Are those your, like, what values do you have that inspire these kinds of events?
Yeah, so I think it's really just my passion for wanting to see the community and people around me succeed, and how can I play a role in empowering that, and bringing people together. So one of my signature events is Dinner with Friends. I created that as a quarterly series to connect and inspire collaboration amongst people. So it's an intimate dining series where I rotate and go to different restaurants, generally 16 people at a time from different walks of life, very diverse in all of those aspects. And it's a 4-course meal, unless it's my brunch edition, but generally it's a 4-course meal with a wine or beverage or cocktail pairing. And it's really just having authentic conversation. I tee it up with a few questions, introductions, and I let the conversation just carry itself. And what's come out of this is, more partnerships, collaboration. A lot of people come to these dinners and they haven't met anybody at the table before, but now they're partnering on grants, they're partnering on community initiatives, which is the purpose of me doing this. So I already know that I'm doing something right,
That's so cool.
because it's working.
Yeah.
Working,
Is
yeah.
it the same 16 people who keep coming every quarter, or
No,
no, it's a new
it's
crop?
new crop. So I think there's probably been 2 or 3 folks who have attended twice, but I try to have a new group each time, so that people are continuously meeting each other. So yeah, I think I'm actually gearing up for my final dinner with friends, and for the first time, I'm considering opening the RSVP and giving first dibs to people who have attended in the past. But I'll still put a cap on the guest count, but I might just open it up and see what happens. I've
So hold
never
on,
done that before.
do you invite people or do people
Yeah.
apply or how do you
So yeah,
bid yours?
I promote it on social media and my newsletter. But it's more of a here are the details, email to request a seat. That's how you get on the list, I should say.
Okay. And then you can be intentional about who you select for a specific dinner in terms
Yep.
of, that's so
Yeah.
cool.
I'm
I'd like to put my name on the list, please.
Yep. This is like matchmaking for community building, and I love it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's been received very well. So yeah, I'm excited about it. It's like I said, it's working, and I think it's needed. A different type of way of networking and engaging with folks. Why not do it over a meal? I go all out and I do a nice tablescape of decor, and it's a fun time.
Oh, I love it. We were just talking about this at my work the other day. The Mr. Burns, is it from what show is that?
With the
The
Simpsons.
Simpsons, where he's like plotting evil. There needs to be like a the good version of that, you know? Like, and it, maybe you are that. You're like, ooh, what goodness can I create in Milwaukee next?
I get,
Ha ha
yep.
ha.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm curious. I mean, we talked about where the kind of event planning came from, but where do you think, in your own past, maybe from your childhood, where did the desire to build community come from?
That's an interesting question. And I never think about it that way. I think the spaces that I have been put in by other folks in the community, that really opened up, okay, now how can I do this for other folks? There are people who brought me in and put me in these spaces and introduced me to this person. I took what I've learned and what I've been exposed to, and I'm doing it myself now. So I would say those spaces, work experiences, United Way is so many, community groups and organizations that I've worked with and partnered with, so being able to see just different aspects of the community and meeting people and folks and attending events and networking luncheons and all the things. So over the years, through those experiences, I would say is where this comes from.
Yeah, so that sort of paying it forward, like this, to who much is given, much is expected and given back, and that sort of thing. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I'm curious what your ultimate dream for Milwaukee is.
Ultimate dream. I think I want to see silos broken. I really want to see more collaboration. And I think I keep saying that. But the more we work together to achieve a goal, I think the better the outcome. Very solution driven. And we have those stakeholders here, but there needs to be a balance with bringing those new folks and new faces into the mix so we can expand more, we can grow more, we can develop more, sustain. So I would say for starters, yeah.
And together too,
And
not
together.
in these silos. I feel that. I feel
Yeah,
that.
that's been a part of what we've tried to do, I think, since the beginning, Megan. I'm always, I live on the west side, but my kids went to school on the east side for a while, and I was always just like really astounded at how people just stay in their part of Milwaukee, right? And don't cross the freeways, right?
And that's another going back to dinner with friends. I rotate restaurants, so they're in
Oh,
different
cool.
areas, they're in different communities, and so there are sometimes folks who say, "Oh, I've never been here, and I've never been over here,"
I know.
So
I
I'm
know.
intentional about that too, hosting it in different areas so that people can see our city.
That happened to me this weekend. I was on the south side for an event and was like, my gosh, I do not get down here enough. You know, I preach this like go to your city, and once a year I go to the South Side. You know, it's just really bad. We get in ruts, right, where we just know what we know. And that's one of the things I love about your vision is how do you create events that people will want to get to try something new, to expand their network, their community, who they know and what they know. That's that's beautiful. So thank you for contributing to that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Emerald Mills and her diverse dining. Yeah, it reminds me, or it's similar in concept to that. I know she's hosting that now at Turning Tables, which is her place. I'm curious if, in terms of your event, like, is your plate full? Have you got enough on your plate? Are you looking for more clients? Does it feel like Milwaukee is competitive to you? Or does it feel like, you know, all boats, all, what is it? What's the expression? All tide, rising tides lift all boats sort of thing.
Yeah, I am. There's a ton of opportunity here, and I am not at full capacity. You know, so I'm taking events. I'm taking, you know, I focus on celebrations, corporate events, and my signature events. I do curated experiences as well. So no, I'm not at capacity, and so it's I'm getting more corporate requests, which is exciting.
Yeah, I saw that you're on the committee for the Baird, opening up the new Baird Center downtown.
Yes. This is so exciting. Really honored to work alongside David Caruso and the rest of the team, who are dynamic in their own way, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had our first planning session last week, and we're fired up and really excited to bring this vision to life for the Baird Center.
When will that be? That's in 2024?
Yes, that is in May 2024.
That's awesome. And I'm curious what boards you're on, what nonprofit boards, what's that part of your life like?
So I sit on the Milwaukee Parks Foundation their development committee and events task force, the Teens Grow Greens Advisory Committee.
Cool.
And then I'm also the vice chair of the Professional Dimensions Charitable Fund.
Oh, nice.
It's so funny. As we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about all our past guests, like, oh, do you know Lauren Feaster? Oh, well, obviously you do.
I sit on a board with Rebecca Stoner, and so I have been wanting to get her on the podcast too to talk about Parks Foundation.
Rebecca is awesome. She's the chair of the charitable fund, and so I work with her both with the Parks Foundation and PD.
Cool.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she really is. Small Milwaukee, baby.
Yes.
We're all so connected.
Much. Yes. Yeah. Well, Shelly, do we jump to our rapid fire questions?
I think so. We do have some like just fun rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So the first one is, what's a hidden gem in Milwaukee as it relates to food?
Hidden gem.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, a place that you maybe don't want to tell us about because you don't want to have to wait in line for food, but we should be waiting in line for food.
I would say I love Thai food.
Mm.
So I'm going to go with Lucky Ginger.
Ooh, never heard of it. Where is it?
See?
Exactly. This is, you got the assignment right. Good work.
They are Water is right after the Milwaukee Public Market. So I think that's still Water Street, or is that First Street? But they're in that Third Ward area.
Okay. Mm. And it's Thai food.
Yep.
That's good, because I'm always looking for a good Thai food. We haven't found our place yet. So
yeah, they have quite a few different types of cuisines and Asian cuisines. So check them out. Lucky Ginger is very good. One of my favorites. If you haven't been to Heirloom, they have a brick and mortar now. So
it's
so delicious. So delicious.
Yeah. They were a food truck, right? And now
they're.
Mm-hmm. We had Lori Frederick on the podcast earlier this season, and I think she mentioned them as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we,
awesome.
What about a hidden gem for ambiance?
Ooh, ambiance.
I suppose this could be a bar or even an event space.
Well, the easy one that we talked about already was the chef's table.
Mm.
But for ambiance, there's a new bar called Edith Cocktail Bar.
Ooh,
Yes, I love
Edith.
Edith. Yep,
Okay.
it's on Wells downtown. It's new. I believe they opened this year, but it's just cocktails. But yeah, it's like velvet lounge areas, and it's just unique cocktails all the way around. Beautiful crafted drinks. So I definitely recommend Edith.
Oh, fun. Fun. I'll try that
Beautiful.
out. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm curious about, and Megan, I'm going to go off script here, a nostalgic place from your childhood that you still go to.
That's hard because so much is has closed.
Yeah.
And then there was a small chunk of time, like from, 2005 to like 2011 when I was living in Chicago.
Well, that's true.
So
Is there any place from your childhood that you wish was back, that you could have one more meal at?
you know who I where I love to go? What was that Italian place? Buca's.
Oh, Buca di
Buca di Beppo.
Beppo,
Beppo or
yeah.
Beppi? Is that's closed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the building's not even there anymore. I think
Oh,
they're
wow.
making space. If it's the one I'm thinking of downtown, they knocked it down. Yeah.
That brings up the nostalgic vibes for you, though.
Yeah, I would say I enjoyed going there. I really loved, and they might still have one in Wisconsin somewhere, but Prime Quarter, where you make your own steak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was I think in Tulsa, that was like on Mayfair Road. I used to love going there.
Oh, that's funny. It takes all kinds, because that to me is like the, oh God, I came to a restaurant so I don't have to cook my own steak.
I have a good one.
That's your mom hat, Shelly.
Yeah, right, totally.
This should have been the first thing I said, but Speed Queen.
Ooh, Speed Queen.
My dad used to take me there as a child, and he always would get me barbecue and lobster. And that's probably why my taste is so
Surf and turf, baby. Surf
like.
and turf.
Oh,
That's
so
funny.
yeah, Speed Queen for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm curious. And we asked this of Lori as well, because she's also a foodie. If you were stranded on a desert island and could only take one Milwaukee chef with you,
Oh,
who would you
don't do
take?
it. Don't do
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. You know who I would take, honestly, is Chef David from The Chef's Table. He is so multifaceted and just creative, and he would probably build a whole table on that island. And it's mo the most exquisite meal. Tell you this story. Battle of the Chefs 1 year. It probably was 2017 or 2018. I don't remember, but I needed a area or a table for sponsors. This man disappears. He goes to Home Depot, which at the time I didn't know, got what he needed and built a table during like the day of the event, during setup.
Oh my gosh.
He built me a table, and I
That is
had
absolutely who you want on a desert island.
I had no idea until he walks in and a table appears, and I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I just went to Home Depot and I just went downstairs and built it for you."
Oh my
Like it was
gosh.
nothing. And I was just like, "Okay."
That's
So, I would say him.
awesome.
He's the truth.
Oh, that's fun.
That's awesome.
Our last question is one that we're asking everyone. As this is about dreams and people who are dreamy to us and we see as living their dreams, we wonder who is somebody that you see as living her dream? And this is a podcast particularly about Milwaukee women. So is there another Milwaukee woman who has inspired you, who you see as living her dream?
Well, there's so many to name, even some of my closest friends. But I would say, from a recent relationship that has developed, one of my catering friends, who shout out to Tamisha, Baked Dreams Bakery and Cafe, that's opening in the Sherman Phoenix. She was in Battle of the Chefs 2022, won the dessert round, but she never envisioned having a brick and mortar. And her dream and her plan changed, and she allowed it. She didn't block it. She was like, well, things change and her business is growing and evolving. And I think it's a great move for her. And she's excited and planning a big grand opening in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, just watching her and knowing, that that's something that she thought she didn't want before, and that dream changed.
Yeah.
There's just so much. There's so many people doing great things in the community. So really just shout out to all the women who are daring and going against the grain and, just taking that leap and doing your thing. I'm one of them. And it's not easy, and so yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to us. That's half of what we want to do with this podcast is share these stories with our listeners so that people can see that, it's actually it sounds scary. It sounds hard to make that move, to quit your job, to live into the dream, but actually what how you do that is just one step at a time,
It
And
is
so
truly.
we love telling these stories and sharing so that other people in Milwaukee can see that they can do it too, and hope that we inspire other people to just take that leap of faith and jump toward their dream. So,
Absolutely. Thank you so much
yes.
for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making time for it. And we can find you on the web at SamanthaStar.com.
SamanthaStarEvents.com.
Got it.
Facebook and Instagram is Samantha Star Events. I'm also on LinkedIn as Samantha Mitchell. Yep.
All right. So if you are planning an event, listeners, here's your gal. Here's your
Awesome.
woman.
And I'm getting
Yes.
on the mailing list right now as we
Yay. Get on the mailing
speak.
list. I'm going to be doing a website rebrand, I should say. I'm a little delayed, but that's coming. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but this was fun.
All right. Well, I literally signed up for her mailing list while we were talking. I want to get to one of these events. How about you?
Yes, I really want to get to the dining with friends. I love that idea because I'm all about connection. I'm all about bringing people together myself. So when other people do that, I'm like, ah, kindred spirit must come and see what you are doing. Because I do think the more people, I mean, I sort of alluded to that question when I asked her about competition, and I don't think it is. I think more of us just need to be doing this. I mean, geez Louise, our US Surgeon General said we have a crisis of loneliness, right? We need connection. So thank goodness for people like Samantha in our city who are bringing people together, encouraging people to come out. Get out of their silos, cross the freeways,
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I'm with you. So be sure to check out her website, sign up for her mailing list, get on the socials, and hopefully we'll see you out at one of her events, Milwaukee.
Yeah, we will put links to all of those in our show notes so you can find them there. And tune in next week when we have another Milwaukee woman living her dream and telling us about it. Hopefully, to inspire you, dear listener, to live your dream in the Cream City.
Until then, Milwaukee, keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming. Okay, Milwaukee, guess what?
We are spending more money than we have earned via our podcast by getting new music and buying swag. Can you help us out?
This is a labor of love, listeners. We do this because we love it. And we also love coffee.
We do love coffee, and actually, we don't really use the coffee money for coffee, but it's easier to ask for coffee than it is to ask for money. So, will you give us coffee?
Would you buy us a cup? If you like our podcast, click the link in our show notes.
Or share this with other people,
We love that too.
especially rich uncles or aunts. I should really stop saying rich uncles. Rich aunts, baby. That's who we want supporting the pod.
I mean, uncles are okay too. We also love reviews. So leave us a review. If you like the podcast, if you love these women, share it, like us, leave us a review.
What's your coffee order, Megan?
Half calf, please. I've had too much already.
I had a new one that I'm obsessed with, a Shakerado, which I totally thought was a McDonald's drive-thru order. It's apparently like a fancy Italian shaken espresso with sugar, and it's amazing.
Wow.
I had it at Vendetta Coffee Bar, so if anybody wants to buy me one of those or 10, I'm in.
Boom. Haven't dropped a boom in a while.
Oh, I have some fiber for that. I entertain us.
Okay, friends, and that's a wrap.